Forth's deep-rooted and long-standing bond with the sea can be perceived not only from its monuments and its appearance, but also by the echoes of life's past that form a part of the local essence. This tour takes us along the coastal boundary of Forth, showing us the complicated layout of the port and the entrance of the estuary, the Ria, reminding us of the importance of marine-based activities and the significance of the beach, and showing us the old fishermen's neighborhoods. Before we start the tour, it's important to follow these instructions. Once the recording has begun, do not stop it until the end. Listen carefully to the indications you are given to follow the route correctly. Only stop when expressly asked to do so in the recording and, above all, walk slowly but steadily.
Hello, my name is Rosa and I'm going to be your guide for this tour to discover Forth's seafaring origins. I wasn't born here myself, but the last three generations of my family have spent the summers in the town, and I consider myself, at least in part, Fothega. There is a person from Forth. The first thing we are going to do is to gather in front of the door of the Zenima building, that is the Amarinha Lucense Interpretation Center. We are going to leave this building behind and cross the street carefully. On the other side, we'll walk towards the left, bordering the grass until we come to a sculpture a little further along on the right, where we'll make a stop. That is where our tour will begin. It's a tribute to the women of Forth. Come on, let's go.
Algún día era ribeira o sitio para descargar. Algún día era ribeira o sitio para descargar. A sardinha que traían as lanchas de matizare. Para descargar en o peixe tiñan que meterse o mare. Para descargar en o peixe tiñan que meterse o mare.
Once upon a time, the seashore was the place to land the sardines brought in by the fishing boats. To unload the fish, they had to wade into the sea, soak it up to the waist, and with no shoes on their feet. Even at unearthly hours, from when the sun went down, the female fishmongers would be out there, removing the heads of the sardines. To prepare the fish, they would spread out on the sand the sackcloth used for this very purpose. As there was no light with which to work, they would stick a gas-lit torch into the sun.
Como no había luz para poder trabajar. Como no había luz para poder trabajar. Santa bandare un pau, Santa bandare un pau en el un chupo de gas. Ay, la, 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 la.
By now we should have come to the sculpture. In Forth, it's known as Ashika, because the sculptor who made it was inspired by a photograph of a very popular female fishmonger known to all as Ashika. She was actually called Julia, but here she was given this nickname to make her stand out, and it stuck. If I could choose one for myself, it could be Rosa da Faneca, as Faneca, the seafaring poet, is my favorite character from Forth. He was invented by José de Socorro, and he's going to serve as our guide as we take a trip through the memory of Forth. Going back to the sculpture, one day A chica was walking along the beach and Juan José, a photographer who used to spend his summers here, took a photograph of her in flip-flops and with a basket of fish on her head. It was immortalized here. Faneca used to say that there were three types of female fishmongers in Foz. Those that used a bus, those that had donkeys, and those that carried baskets. Let's continue our tour. We have to go straight on until we reach the cobbled pavement that runs alongside the shore. We'll make another stop there. All this land was reclaimed from the sea in the 1970s. The shoreline would have been here, where we are walking now, and the boats right up to here. They could moor on the beach and load their catches, and the women could collect the fish and prepare it for sale across the region. On the promenade, we are going to stop for a moment. From here, we have an uninterrupted view of the interior of the Ria, and we can get our bearings. If you look to your left, you will see the mouth of the Ria and on the other side, San Cosme Beach, which belongs to Barreiros Borough Council. Now look towards your right, and at the end of the Ria, the first thing you can see is the mouth of the river Masma. Beyond that, at the foot of the tree-covered hill, is Fondas Beach, which belongs to Foz. When ships return from long voyages, they could moor there for a period of quarantine. A little farther to your right, where Foz's houses end, is Punta das Malates, where a much smaller river, the Centinho, also flows into the Ria. There used to be some shipyards there many years ago, but none remain today, although the road that leads there is called Rua dos Asteleiros, Shipyards Street. To mark the importance the construction of wooden boats here had over the centuries. There were three shipyards. Hermanos Beltrán, behind it, Juan María Nécega Somoza, which was the most traditional, and a third called Moreno. They all built wooden boats and also supplied the wider Cantabrian coast. The ship owner, along with the builders, would choose the pines and eucalyptuses in the woods, often transporting them to the shipyards in two lorries, as the keel trunks sometimes measure 20 or 22 meters in length and did not fit in a single lorry. It was quite a sight to see. Let's continue our tour now. We are going to walk towards the left, following the path that runs alongside the shore, in the direction of the river mouth. Remember to walk slowly, as this is not a race. The Ria used to be home to an abundance of cockles and clams, known here as chícaros and ameixolas. But when the train line was built, the course of the river was channeled, and then a quarry was formed, as well as a kaolin washing pit, and production was drastically reduced because the Ria was severely polluted. I remember as a child seeing the women come down from a ribeira to a rapadoira beach to harvest maravillas, which are a type of elongated clam with a green shell, similar to razor clams. The Ria used to be much more open, but its shape was changed by the construction of breakwaters on the shores on each side, that is, Foz and Barreiros, which modified the currents and caused build-ups of sand. The Ria had been deeper prior to this, allowing bigger vessels to dock, but the problem was not new. As back as far as the 1930s, locals had been calling for a port to be established outside the Ria on account of this very problem, the depth of water. Where we find ourselves now is still a ribeira. This was where the children used to play. Faneca used to say that the mischievous ones could spend their time playing with little rafts that they made out of tin cans from the canning factory in Foth. They could check that the raft was stable by putting some sand in the cans. And if it didn't topple over, then it was ready to be launched.
Faneca, veña, que vas quedar atrás. Eu vou xe logo cofilar. Ti que lancha levas?
A miña é a polar. Aí vou.
Rum, 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 rum.
Aí vai un cangrexo. Vou no coller como se fose un bonito. Veña, pa dentro.
Hai que volver ao porto, que se avecinha unha galerna.
Faneca, dalle.
Faneca, ver.
This cobble pavement ends just further along by a lamppost. We'll stop there for a moment. In front of you is a small harbour called Puerto Chico by some of the locals. It used to form a part of Tupide Beach. The children with their rafts made out of cans used to come as far as here and then they would go for a swim. The summer holiday makers, myself included, used to go to Arrapadoira Beach, while the locals would come here, the Tupide. We are now going to cross the esplanade in front of us, diagonally as far as the interior of the port, home to Foth's Sailing School. From there, we are going to follow a path that takes us up towards those large buildings at the end, bordering a garden lawn. Let's go. Please look out for traffic before you cross. While we walk, if you look over to your left, you can see stone ruins, which are from shipyard of Santiago Pérez Mariño, also known as Santiago da Puebla, because he was from Pobra do Caramiñal originally. When he came to Foth, he learned his trade in Nétega shipyard, which operated in the 1960s and 70s. The front of the shipyard reached down to the beach and the back looked out onto Campo da Cabana, which was where the early, smaller vessels were launched, crossing Campo da Cabana to a Ribeira beach. As we continue, the harbour will be on your right and you will be able to see the sailing school just ahead on your left. It's a low stone building and there are always a few boats sitting on the grass. Now we are going to follow the path that leads upwards between the sailing school and the lawn. Can you see it? Let's go then. There are a lot of boats in this port, but almost all of them are used for leisure activities, you know, when you go sailing just to pass the time, not to go anywhere in particular. We must be on the path by now. A little further up, there used to be another shipyard belonging to David del Riego, which encroached onto Tupide Beach. The trolley, made up of the iron rails on which the boats were built, reached as far as the sand and the water, and vessels were launched at high tide. Because, if not, then they could get stuck on the sand and they would have to be pulled out using cows and a plough. Having said that, a lunch was a social event and everybody in the town went. The entry into the sea was spectacular. In 1970 or 72, when the Candelaria was launched, all of the local dignitaries came. The bishop, the union representative, the harbour master. Each representative had to give a speech, and it took so long that the boat had to be launched without smashing the bottle because the tide was going out. Now you are going to come across a dirt track that turns left. Take the track and then you'll see a boat sitting in a garden. Can you see it? This type of boat was used to set the pots or fish for conger and haddock, and was smaller than the boats called tarraferos, which were used to catch sardines. This boat was donated by a fisherman when he retired, called Abel. When he used to work, he would leave port at 7 or 8 in the evening and come back in the early morning. When he used long lines, he could come back at 3 or 4 in the afternoon before the rula, or call to auction, that would take place at 5 p.m. There were two fish auctions in Foth, one at midday and one at 5 p.m. Sardines were auctioned as soon as they arrived. A siren would sound to let everyone know that the catches were being landed. The first to arrive were sold at a higher price. We're going to look straight ahead now, and where the track ends, we are going to follow the pavement that borders what remains of Tupide Beach. Come on, let's go. At the end of August, there's a unique tug of war competition here. Unique in that a rope measuring more than 300 meters is thrown across to San Cosme Beach on the other side of the Ria. A boat is placed in the middle with a basket containing the treasure that the Irish King Mealog had supposedly hidden in the hills. Each team has 13 members pulling from each side of the Ria. Whoever manages to move the boat to their side of the Ria wins. The sand spit that forms a barrier at the mouth of the Ria was always very dangerous for navigation and hindered ships approach to port. On top of that, on this side of the Ria, just by the lighthouse we call a farola, is the Pena da Rapadoira, some rocks which made navigation even more difficult. That was why in the early of 1930s, the rocks were cut away to make them lower and a tower with a beacon was placed on the top. In 1936, the breakwater that joins the Farola to land was built with the aim of protecting the Ribeira neighborhood from high waves in a storm. It remained like that until 1970s. Now, the breakwater out to the Farola is a walkway. You can come back after our tour if you want, because now we are going to continue along this pavement, which takes us up and round to the left. The walkway that leads to the Farola is called Paseo de Laredo, so called because between in the 1920s and the 1960s, there was a strong fishing and personal bond between the Cantabrian town of Laredo and Foth. It all began when Luis Gutiérrez from Laredo set up a canning factory here in Foth, encouraging a number of vessels from there to fish for sardines here. However, there was such an abundance of sardines that the price dropped, meaning that the fishermen had very little resources. So they were welcomed into the homes of the local people, sharing the little they had between them. An emotional bond was formed. When we get to the top, we are going to continue on our ride along Paseo de Colón, from where you can see a Rapadoira beach in its entirety. Years later, boats from Foth would sail to the eastern Cantabrian coast to fish for anchovies, and the locals from Laredo returned the favor, welcoming the fishermen from Foth into their homes. After the war, people persecuted under the Franco regime also sought refuge here, having been exiled from Laredo. So now we have come to Paseo de Colón. A little further along, you will be able to see a stone bust. We are going to stop there because I've arranged to meet some friends of mine, and I'm sure they know lots of stories about this beach. Oh, look, there they are. Hello, here we are, over here. I hope we haven't kept you waiting.
Hello, Rosa. No, not at all. I already arranged to meet Ramon first, and we walk here together.
Hello, Ramon.
Hello, Rosa.
Well then, I better hand things over to you, as you are much better qualified to talk to us about Foth than I am.
Sure, no problem.
Where do you want to start?
I'd like to start by talking about Chico, as we are standing right in front of his statue.
Just one thing, Ramon. We ought to start off by saying that in Foz this bus is called Nonoe, which means something like that is in him, because when the sculpture was first put up, people used it to say that is in him.
I know, but that is important right now. Let's get back to the matter in hand. His full name was Lizardo Rivas Oroza, but everyone here knew him as Chico.
Because he was the son of a very popular female fishmonger called Chica.
We also saw the statue dedicated to her in the Ribeira, the woman with the basket on her head, remember?
Chico was brought up in the Ribeira and was a fisherman until he later became one of Foz's first lifeguards. In fact, he saved many lives, because this beach has a lot of dangerous currents.
Before Chico, all Castiñeira used to watch over the beach. Do you know who I mean? The Aussie wolf who sailed all over the world.
Oh yes, Jesus Castiñeira. When he returned to Foz in 1946, he was asked to keep watch over the beach as a figure of authority, every day from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. during the month of August and September, and he was paid 12 pesetas every day.
That information is very precise, huh?
I remember like it was yesterday how Chico used to roll up on his blue Vespa. He had a very athletic build, was very strong, broad-chested, just like the actors in those 50s and 60s action movies. He was even said to have featured in a movie as a stunt double for the character of Tarzan.
No, it wasn't Tarzan. He was called up to do a Spanish film that was filmed in Amariña in 1963 to be the stunt double for one of the actors and shoot a dangerous scene in Estaca de Bares. He was supposed to have to jump into the sea from a height. I don't know if he actually did it. I don't know if it's true.
What is true is that Chico was part and parcel of life here on Arrapadoira Beach.
Chico was a true legend of Arrapadoira Beach indeed. Now we are going to move across to the railings on the promenade looking over the beach. Going past the trees and stone benches, all right? Come on then. From here we have a panoramic view of Arrapadoira as a whole. I still remember when the sea came up as far as here, near the promenade.
Because as the wall that separates the beach from the mouth of the Ria got bigger, there was an increasing build-up of sand. Having said that, it has always been a natural beach. Over there, where there's a walkway that used to be green fields. When it was small, they used to follow some deep tracks that led down to the beach.
There used to be some wooden huts on the beach as well, didn't there?
Yes, beach huts where holiday makers could leave their beach things and change their clothes. Locals didn't used to have a hut, except the well-off, of course.
Or those who had delusions of grandeur.
That's true too. Over to the left, from where we are now, begins a different neighborhood, Isla Nova, or New Island. It used to be called Isla Perdida, Lost Island, because there were no houses or anything. When the first bar opened up there, it belonged to the father of someone who had once been the major. He didn't know what to call it, because everyone was saying, "It's in Isla Perdida, Isla Perdida." So then the major at the time said, "Why don't you just call it Isla Nova?" And the neighborhood continued to grow.
That's not how I remember this story being told. I know another version, according to which the father of Sheila, who was a very well-known seaman in these parts, had a house somewhere around there. He used to come into the town center for a drink and would always say, "Right, I'm away off home." And then someone would say, "But sure, what would you be off to? Stay and have another drink." And he would insist on leaving, saying, "I'm away back to my island." And that's why they call the area Island.
The full name was Isla Perdida, but in order to change its reputation as being far away from everywhere else, it was given the name Illa Nova, New Island. And a very successful name it was too, as there's even a hotel named after it.
Yes, to be clear, the Isla neighborhood, or Isla Nova, as Ramon would have it, goes as far as that big red building over there. After that, it becomes Rego de Foz. A stream used to run into the sea there, and there used to be a whaling harbour up until the 17th century, which went as far as that green field there, nowadays known as Prado de Ramos.
That stream doesn't exist anymore, as its course has been channeled. It used to catch the water from the fields and run onto the beach. Indeed, that area up there is still known as Las Lagoas, or the lagoons.
As I was saying, that area over there was the Prado de Ramos, but nowadays the younger ones call it the Curva dos Negros, because twice some people from Cape Verde went off the road there.
It's also known locally as Asualta. And over there you can see some little islets called Os Castelos. The name Prado de Ramos first appeared in the 17th century, but nobody knows where it came from. On certain days, people coming to the beach would put down a tablecloth and have a picnic.
Here in El Rapadoira, there's a many tale to be told. But we have to move on, as we still have a way to go to finish our walking tour. If you like, you could come with us.
Why not? Come on then. It isn't as if I have anything else to do.
Me neither. I'm coming too. I just hope you are not too bored by so much information.
Not at all. It's a privilege to be able to gain your insight. Now we are going to go back the way we came. We'll leave the beach behind and pass by the bust of Chico again and cross the road using the pedestrian crossing. Then we have to continue on our left along Trapero Pardo Street in the direction of the town center. It's okay? So let's cross, turn left and continue along the pavement. If my memory serves me well, just on the other side of the zebra crossing, in the square surrounded by buildings, there used to be a canning factory, Dallo, I think it was.
Yes, you're right, it was here. A little further along was the Hoyo de Mar canning factory, but the biggest was Dallo, which belonged to Damián López. He had two coasters and three other boats that fished for him. And he also had a sawmill in Vilaronte, on the outskirts of Foz, which sold wood. Dallo was like a large local holding company and operated roughly from the 1930s to 1965.
In the 1940s, the factory even had its own canteen and housing and a clinic in Vilaronte to provide services for its workers.
Now all that remains around here of the factory is a bar called Casa Damián.
Canning was an important industry in Foz for a long time. As far back as the mid-16th century, there was at least one salting factory.
We are going to cross over on this zebra crossing and go straight along this same street, all right?
Rosa, shall we continue talking or should we wait?
No, don't stop, as we still have some distance to go. And it will help me find out more about Foz as well.
All right, so I'll continue talking about canning. In the factories, there were a lot of female workers. The role of women throughout La Mariña has been fundamental because they were the ones who dealt with household matters, looked after the children and the vegetable gardens, as well as any elderly relatives. And on top of all that, they were also in charge of selling the fish or working in the canning factory. In the 18th century in Foz, almost all of the men were seamen and belonged to the Navy. And so whenever there was a war, all males between the age of 18 and 65 had to enlist. You know who it is with a war. You know when it starts, but not when it would end.
Here the Navy had its own trade association, which allowed you to enlist on the ships. If you didn't belong, you couldn't sail. But of course, that meant that every time there was a war, a third of the population disappeared. So what happened? Those who weren't in the Navy took over their places. Piers sent fishing, staying close to the coast. And when those who had gone to war returned, they went back to what they had been doing before.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are just coming up to another pedestrian crossing. We are going to cross over and continue along the footpath over there. By the way, when you cross, if you look towards the right and a little farther away, you'll see the casas baratas, cheap houses. It is a fisherman's quarter that was built in the 1950s or thereabouts, maybe a little earlier.
The subsidy to build the first phase of Casas Baratas was granted in 1944-45, but they were not ready to be occupied until 1950, when seamen and their families went to live there.
These houses provide inhabitants with a slightly more dignified way of life, as previously housing lacked the basic services.
Then a second phase was built, consisting of flats. Today the Casas Baratas can be described as proper houses because they have a little bit of land and a garden.
We are just coming to the Campo da Cabana, which is a large square you'll see just ahead of you. First, we have to cross this rather longer pedestrian crossing. Be careful crossing. When you get the corner, take the smaller pedestrian crossing on the left. Then continue along the pavement that runs the entire length of the square. This is now the Campo da Cabana. From what I gather, this is a very important place in Foz.
That's true. There's a lot to tell. Shall I start?
Of course. You are a history expert, after all.
All right, then. This land belonged to the Rebellón family, an important family from the Marzán neighborhood originally. It would seem that at the end of 16th century, they wanted to build a chapel, and the church asked for something in exchange, so they donated this piece of land. At that time, the Campo da Cabana went from the port as far as Arrapadoira. When the Basque whalers arrived, this is where they lived. The name Campo da Cabana could be a reference to a cabin that they had here, where they kept their instruments for dismembering the whales. Sometime later, they changed location to Rego de Foz, where they built a private whaling port.
So, this started off as a piece of land given over to the church. Then the church exchanged it with the seafarers so that they could hand their nets out to dry here. At that time, there were no buildings. It's what later than the population expanded out from the Ribeira, and in the middle of the 19th century, this area came to be known as the neighborhood of the Casas Nuevas, or new houses.
What shall we do when we reach the end of the square? Do we continue ahead along Mare Street?
I think it's better to turn left and head down Jesús Nazareno Street.
That's fine. We'll turn left at the corner where the Chicaro Bar is and continue along the footpath.
What are you up to?
What do you think we might be up to?
I don't know. I'm just standing here on my doorstep.
You are just a campuda. That's what you are.
A total campuda, that's all I am.
You'd better explain what that means, don't you think?
You see, the people who live here, well, they have a unique sense of humor, and they are called campuda. A bit of a show-off. Isn't that right? Pili, why don't you walk with us for a little?
All right, I will. You know, some people might say we are a little rude, but, well, we are fishermen's daughters. We speak our minds without thinking too much about who might be listening. We might be a little outspoken sometimes, but we mean well.
And they never draw. It's either win or lose.
Listen, at the corner, we are going to turn right and head down Jesús Nazareno Street. It gets its name from the greatest tragedy ever to befall Foz.
Sorry to interrupt. But here, on this empty piece of land, used to be the towers that the shipyards put up to dry the wood. We climb up to the top. At the very top, we would walk across the last plank and seesaw on it. One of us on one end and one on the other.
So I was going to go back to the story of Jesús Nazareno. But since we are just coming to José Socorro's house, he was the one who invented the character of Faneca, we are going to stop outside for a moment. It's the house on the right, which has a staircase on the side and a balcony on the first floor. Let's stop here. So, this was where José Fernández Rouco, known as José de Socorro, used to live. He was a ruleiro, that is, he used to auction the fish at the market, as well as a popular poet. He was a simple man from a family of seafarers with no academic education, but he loved to write. This is how Faneca described the seaman's trade in verse.
O marinheiro trabalha de noite com a luz da lua. Trabalha quando a cheada, quando a
the fisherman works at night under the moonlight. He works when it's frosty, in the sunlight or in the dark of night. when the northwest holds, when the sea crashes against the shore. The fisherman works with his oilskins on. The stars are his ceiling. The calm seas his floor. But the treacherous seas he must continue to cross.
Ten portellado as estrelas, por piso tengo mar blando. E por vieiros perigosos ten que seguir navegando. Arenena, 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 arenena.
I'll start. What happened was that on 18 July 1945, a fishing boat sank and 12 crew members died, five of them from the same family. In memory of such a tragic day, the street was given the name Jesús Nazareno, which was the name of the boat. Some of those who had been on board lived around here.
It was a tragedy that shocked the whole town.
And truth be told, people here still remember it. But before we go into more detail, let's continue walking, if that's right. And not too quickly. Remember, it's just a stroll.
They say that on the day of the procession to celebrate the Feast of Carmen, which is on the 16th of July, the crew asked for permission to place the image of Jesus the Nazarene alongside that of Our Lady of Carmen. And they were barefoot to invoke good luck on their fishing. As that year the Feast of Carmen fell on a Monday, they wait until Wednesday 18 to set sail because, as the saying goes, on a Tuesday neither Mary nor set sail. And that day there was a huge storm and the boat sank.
The last house on the street has a plaque commemorating the event. And a little farther down, where several streets meet, called Mondoñedo Square, we are going to walk straight ahead along Constitución Street, all right? The procession with the image of Nossa Senhora do Carme came down from the Casas Baratas along Mar Street, and when it came to this turning, it stopped in front of the office of the Fishermen's Association, which used to be at the beginning of this street, in the second house on the left, where a Hail Mary was said. A carpet of flowers is also laid on this street on the Feast of Carmen, isn't it?
I should explain that. In fact, the carpet of flowers has always been a tradition, but that in recent years, since 1981, it has been taken much more seriously and become more elaborate.
I must say that there is a lot of competition between the neighborhoods to make the floral carpets. Nowadays, holiday makers are also invited to take part if they want. And that showed us it just, whereas in the past, it was all flowers and all the petals had to be painstakingly pulled off.
Something we haven't talked about yet are the holiday makers themselves, which is very traditional here in Foz. As I mentioned before, I am the third generation of my family to holiday here.
And the strange thing about it was that, as there didn't used to be any hotels, the people who came here on holiday stayed with people here in their own houses. After the harvest, which took place in August, people from inland would take advantage of the time when there were less to be done in the field and came here for 10 or 12 days, always in September.
In my house, for example, we used to live on the downstairs floor in the summer and let out the two other floors in July and August. And the first fortnight in September, the Carolas or Carolos used to come, and they would come in September because it was cheaper.
Cunqueiro used to call them canónigos and canónigas. Here in Foz, they were considered second-class holidaymakers.
That was because they never spent any money here. They used to bring their own food, and they didn't even have swimsuits. Well, this is where I have to leave you. I've got some things to do. Bye!
Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you. We are going to stop here to get our bearings before going any further. Over there you can see the palm trees and other trees in Conde de Fontau Square. That's where we want to go next. We have to cross on the pedestrian crossing at the end of the street we are on now, and then continue along the footpath on the right-hand side as far as the square. We'll make another stop there, beside the children's play area, all right? That will give us time to listen to another of Faneca's verses, which talks about the Carolas. Let's go then. Tres ou catro nunha cama durmían na habitación e o xergón era de tabua e de folla o colchón e three or four to a bed, all in one room. The base was a board and the mattress made of leaves. If they didn't have a bed, or even a bathroom, they slept the best they could, all together in the attic. The landlady didn't bother charging them for the room, because they gave her potatoes to plant for the winter. They brought sacks full of potatoes and bacon, a pot of lard, and a carafe of wine.
Traguían un saco puño con patacas, pan e touciño. Unha cazola de pingo e un garrafón de viño.
So we must be in the square by now. Remember to stop at the railing of the children's play area.
This is Conde de Fontau Street, but here we call it the Rambla. Nobody knows where that name comes from.
Before you go any further, it's a good idea to take a look at that new building we just left behind by the zebra crossing.
All right, let's look at the building Santon's talking about. It's the last one on the street we came down, but on the other side of the road, and the facade has a traditional grass-fronted gallery looking out over the square.
This is the Seamen's Social Club. Originally, it used to be where the seamen kept their nets and had meetings to talk about any problems they might have. It was a ground floor space. Then, on the same piece of land, the sailing club was established, and in 1921, Fourth First Cinema opened here. The building as it stands today is nothing like what it used to be, but it continues to be used for the same purpose.
So let's continue. We are going to leave the social club behind and turn left after the play area and into that little tree-lined boulevard, which is where our tour takes us next. As Ramon has already mentioned, this is the Rambla.
All of this garden is land that was reclaimed from the sea. Before, it used to be sandy ground. It was called Aviña. The boats were beached here, and the Camino Real passed by just here. In 1853, a new path had to be made, because the wagons the passengers were traveling on would be trapped here for hours depending on the tide, as the path would be flooded at high tide, making it impossible to transit. The whole beach was dug out in order to enable bigger ships to dock here in deeper water.
Thank you so much for accompanying us as far as here.
You're welcome, Rosa.
It's our pleasure.
I think we should finish our tour over there on the right, in front of the wall of the church, which is called Santiago de Foz and has a permanent exhibition of old photographs of the town. If you look carefully, you will see images relating to some of the stories you've heard here today.
This stroll was nice.
Yeah, sure it was.
Do you fancy a drink?
Okay, I'll buy it.
No, it's my turn.
No, it's my turn.
No, you paid yesterday.
And you paid the other day. Come on.
Please don't forget to leave your headphones in the same place you collected them. The characters of this audio guide were played in order of appearance by Iván Marcos, Patricia De Lorenzo, Dani Trillo, Borja Fernández and Mónica García. The songs were based on poems taken from books by Faneca, written by José de Socorro and sung by the Fillas Bravas. Editing and audio post-production by Jacobe Martínez Antelo and documentary research, script and direction by Jesús Ron. The making of this guide would not have been possible without the collaboration of Juan Ramón Fernández Pacios, Anton Niñe and Foz Town's council staff.